During that game in Munich last week, I got a text off one of Pogba's family, and it just said, different animal.
You know, Mancini has wanted everyone to have fun, you know.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the OTB Football Podcast.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.
I'm delighted to say we've got David Brady and Brendan Devaney with us to chat about both of their respective counties and just how much we can believe in either Mayo or Donegal. Brendan, I might start with you because the news coming through in the last 24 hours is that we expect that Michael Murphy will be fit to have some role against Down this weekend. What are your whispers? What are you hearing?
Yeah, same as that. The two boys are back. That most of the Donegal injuries have cleared up. I think McNeilis is only one, but as you said, Murphy's been a huge one for Donegal. There's a lot of talk about whether starting him or not. I think with that type of injury, Jerry, you're really ready to go or not. And I think particularly with what's coming down the line for Donegal, Michael's going to have to get a couple of games under his belt after the time's off if Donegal are to progress. So I don't think there's that chance where they can afford to leave it out because, you know, Down are capable of putting it up to Donegal, and I think for Declan Bonner to hold him in reserve would be a very dangerous call.
Yeah, it sends the wrong message out to everybody else, like, oh, look, we're going to be okay without this. Whereas you stick him in the team, everyone's like, oh, this is, you know, it is the Ulster Championship. The graveyard of the Ulster Championship is littered with champions with aspirations.
For sure, including last year, Jeremy, think about it. I mean, Donegal didn't walk away from Armagh after the Ulster final and thinking that they should have beat Cavan, but I think Down certainly did in the semi-final when they had Cavan completely beat. I mean, they were 9 up at half-time and cruising, playing some unbelievable football. So I think when you look into the small things, as we do here, you know, under the league campaign then, Donegal played okay, I suppose, against the Tyrone and then fairly poorly against Monaghan and just managed to pull a draw out against Armagh. I don't think we can read anything in the Dublin game. And I suppose Down started off the league pretty poorly, you know, getting well beaten by Mayo and then by Meath, but then turned it around and a really good last performance, you know, to stay up against Laois in the playoff and hitting two, I think they had 2.19 in that game. So those kind of things bode well for Down coming into this game. You just feel, Jerry, all this build-up and you're looking at potential matchups down the line and that. It's just such a shame that someone has to go out and that's the season over. And I think Paddy Talley's been talking about turnover of squads and you just look at the teams outside of the top eight and that and the commitment they have to put in is here. And a big part of that, I think, with Down is turnover of players. They keep losing sways and sways of players. Like Paddy Talley was saying, there's maybe people committing to, you know, 2, 4, 5 years. Well, other counties players are in for, you know, at least your kind of 10 years and you can work with your best players. So I think that's something we've got to be very cautious of in football going forward in terms of, you know, trying to make a competition that keeps everybody involved, that you get your best players in there, because certainly that's a huge issue in Down.
I think it's really obvious. And look, I don't want to bring this back to structures because the games are here now and we can actually talk about them as opposed to the dark winter months when we've nothing to talk about but the structures. But it is true. And it's particularly pronounced this year and last year when there has been straight knockout. DB, I want to ask you about the general pall of despair that must be over Mayo at the moment with the Killian O'Connor news because, you know, we just got to the point where somebody had correctly counted all of the figures and his scoring is off the charts and it was 60 championship games and only 40 league games. We were like, well, this is the year where that young set of players have had a year in the squad and they know exactly what's needed from them. But we have Killian, we have Dermot O'Connor, we have Aidan O'Shea who had an injury scare but was actually okay. It looked like it was all set up for a push and now without Killian, is there anybody in Mayo who thinks that they can come good?
There is, yeah. And I'd say it's about 32 people and that's the squad themselves and James Horne and his management because, look, it is a massive blow. He went off, I think it was 3 minutes into injury time in the first half and he had won 4 in the bag against Clare. That albeit from a penalty, but it's a massive loss. But it's not something that they're not used to as such. Killian, as you said, when you quantify the number of games he's played versus his return, it's phenomenal. And there's been kind of a consistent, but Killian has been injured regularly enough and has been missing from, I suppose, mostly league for big quantities of time. But You just can't say to yourself, Mayo are the force they are without Killian. They're not. But I don't think they're going to be just great at no-hopers all of a sudden on the back of that. And again, I have no insight into it, and I haven't really asked of anyone. But Killian is out now. Is he out in 5 weeks' time? 6 weeks' time? That is the question. And I don't think it's a ruptured tendon. But if there is something to be done or an operation to be had, it would make him very, very doubtful. But I wouldn't rule him totally out. But what it leaves James Horan is in a position to say, right, we can only work with what we have right now. And I think it's maybe a time not to gamble, but I think he needs to say to himself, where do I try and cover or replace Killian and not take away too much from my defence. For me, I think it will be only a matter of time before we see the likes of Oisin Mullen, who has been absolutely phenomenal from the first day he's been on a Mayo jersey, from cornerback position. I think it's only a matter of time we see him coming out, and I would love to see what he could do in a half-back line or maybe even in a half-forward line playing that defensive role. But his attacking prowess, his speed, he's so comfortable on the ball. I think maybe you're kind of saying to yourself, do I have another option? You're robbing Peter to say Paul, but Paul is in Killian O'Connor is a massive loss. And how do you try and inject some kind of positive momentum and something new to the table? I know it's a short championship, but I do think the players that are there, like, it went against me all being in Division 2 to a degree, because you're having that quality again. But if you look back, it was only 6 months ago that we had an Ireland final, so it's not a lifetime ago. And I think the Mayo team will have to just forget about Killian and the likes of maybe the likes of Conor Loftus, who would be probably classed as their next dominant free taker. You have the possibility of Ryan O'Donoghue, or you have Kevin McLaughlin to step up to free taking duties. But again, when you have a free taker, you need to have a return percentage of around 85% to 90% all the time.
Did you think Mayo were a little bit overlooked before the O'Connor injury, David, just because everybody was talking about this Kerry Dublin, the two of them on top of the tree and everybody else trailing behind them? But as you say there, Mayo All-Ireland finalists last year, so did you think they were written off a little bit too soon?
At the end of the day, Mayo weren't, they didn't set the world alight in Division 2. For me, my one concern would be from a defensive point of view. Two goals conceded in every game. The last day, their back scored 1-7. The only two to score was Young Hessian and Rob Henley. It was massive contribution, but that's the way Mayo play. And I think when we think about losing Killian O'Connor, we are, yes, from a scoring point of view. But the way that Mayo is set up, I think Killian would be a major loss, because he is without doubt, and it's a cliche, yes, the first line of defence. He pushes back, he comes back so deep, looks for turnover ball, but then you have the let them loose effect, where you have your big runners, you have your fast guys on the ball, the Oisin Mullins, the Lee Keegans, the Paddy Durkins of this world, that are so comfortable going forward, knowing that the breakdown, the turnovers happen with the likes of Killian or Tommy Connery coming back, and they have space, but they need to be cognizant that their first job is defence. And I think even that link from Killian will be a loss, but it's not unsurmountable. And look, we're talking about a whole new championship, we're going into it in the next couple of weeks. What is it, 6-7 weeks is nearly going to be over. And at that stage, there's going to be more injuries in the Mayo camp and every other camp from it.
Yeah.
And it's something that you've talked about as well. The amount of niggles and the amount of small injuries that players are bringing into this championship and will bring in once the pace is turned up is going to increase, because, look, it's been sedimentary for everyone, ourselves. But the one good thing, and I do, it is a positive vibe from Mayo, is that guys aren't doing the... Tonight, right, you're going down, you're spending 5.5-6 hours travelling up and down to Mayo, you're training, you're back at 1 o'clock. That's a big benefit to Mayo. They've had a number, 7 to 9 at times, players travelling by bus down. And the fact that the vast majority of them are based at home now is a positive, because they're down in Castlebar, they're down in Mayo, and that allows for a better momentum in training.
Brendan, there's a sense that this Dublin team, for the first time in a couple of years, are closer to the pack than they have been in recent years, by virtue of the fact that a bunch of players have moved on or aren't playing for whatever reason, that the strength and depth isn't there. Now, excellent performances from, say, Paddy Small in the recent league game, and they still have the core of the team in Conn is there, Fenton is there, Kieran Kilkenny is there. We don't know if the goalkeeper is going to be there or not. There's a possibility he has retired and we don't know it yet. We'll wait and see exactly what the crack is with that. Is it real that they're actually a bit closer to the pack than they have been in previous seasons, or are we kind of trying to kid ourselves in the hope that we get a proper championship?
Maybe they're getting fed up. Just, Jerry, that's what we're hoping for. We've had enough. We're going to take a break. But, they're so hard to read into Dublin. Every game, you know, particularly if we're looking at those league games there, how they play and what they do. Like I was shocked at them in the second half against Donegal. They're 7 points up and their full 15 goes inside the 45. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, you know, for the greatest team that's ever played the game. To go into that type of shape, they're so rhythmic. I mean, it's tactics beyond belief. I mean, they've got the talent to back that up. It's a bit scary. I mean, I always think if you're that good, just go out and beat teams, you know, within reason. You're going to drop players back, of course, keep your defensive shape. But that would worry me. It looks like they're happy enough to go on to whatever shape is needed to constantly win, which, you know, is sport, but it's also very robotic. And sure, yeah, I mean, Comerford's coming in. I mean, I don't know how much that'll weaken him. He seems to be top class as well. So, like, it's that squad of Dublin's. And even against Donegal, the other players didn't really perform that well, but yet they were so far ahead, you know. And you mentioned a few of them there, you know, with quite Fenton was quite quiet, Kilkenny, and Conn was in and out of the game. And as you said there, someone's always going to step up on the day for them. I wouldn't read much into what Donegal put out that day. Donegal just wanted to get through injury-free and not get a spanking, a bit like what Tyrone got against Kerry. I think that was the big thing for Donegal. So I wouldn't read into their performance at all. But as for Dublin, it's just that question mark again. But certainly at the minute, if you're looking at form, you'd have to say Kerry are the form team in the country. They're the team that's definitely shaking it up.
Yeah,
what's going to come out of Ulster, it's hard to know. I certainly think the Ulster Championship in itself is more interesting than All-Ireland. Because of this Dublin spectre, because everybody's going to have a cut at each other in Ulster, and there's so many fascinating tussles coming down the line. For me, it's where a load of interest lies before we get into the semis.
Yeah, David, we've talked before. I remember when we were talking about what you do with the blanket defence and the sweeper, and your solution at the time was to push forward and have an extra forward and go and be more attacking. And it feels a little bit like that's kind of what's happened, that teams have decided, particularly over the last 18 months, that if you're going to lose games, you may as well lose games scoring a lot to give yourself a chance in a shootout. I don't know if what we've seen in the league is evidence of that or if it was specific to the league, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the Ulster Championship over the next couple of weeks if teams do go defensive. But like, the one thing that you'd say about Kerry is that they have built a team which is now designed to take advantage of the fact that Dublin go one-on-one with their defenders. In many instances, obviously, as Brendan said, they will drop players back. Like, you've got to give credit to Kerry for developing a style that they think is going to beat the Dubs, as opposed to be a copy of them or something similar to them.
Yeah, and again, you give credit to Kerry for creating a style, but it's nothing else has worked. So they've had to say to yourself, how do we do something different? And again, once you have the firepower, you're kind of going, right, we need to focus on our key strength. And looking from the key strength, from the, if you look at the Clifford O'Shea or Brian or Moynihan, like, they're massive scorers. They're massive. They're a massive threat. And I think Kerry are really focusing on their main strength, which is their scoring power and their scoring threat. And again, I like when you have Spillane, you'll have Moran or O'Connor in midfield. You have that platform as well, but you have to use your strengths, because the rest, what everyone else has done over the last couple of years, hasn't worked. And again, it's not that you set out your whole ethos or your whole year is focused on, oh, forget about the Galways, forget about the Corks, forget about the Tyrones, let's focus on Dublin. That's not really it, but you're going to yourself. It's kind of an evolution to say, we got to meet fire with fire. And again, you can't look at defending and all of a sudden you're 7 points down and you come out of your shell and going, oh no, now we have to revert back to something totally different. And that's what's often happened with Dublin in the past, or teams against Dublin. But I do think that squads have kind of said to themselves, well, let's develop more firepower and let's develop a better way of attacking and playing that an attacking game. And we're seeing it. Like the scores from games is great to see. Like the level of scoring, whether it's 216, 222, 123. Like there's massive scores. That's because the game is more open, more fluid. Again, as Brendan says, Dublin have that ability and tendency to say right. And it's not the first time, and it won't be the last time that you'll have 14 behind the ball. Numerous times over the last few years, but it's what they do when they break it down and the way they counterattack that really blurs your mind to say, well, they're very defence focused. They are. But going back on the on the Dublin keeper from an Evan Comerford point of view, Stephen Cluxton has probably done exactly what Cluxton was going to do. He was going to bow out, and from my mind, I don't see him being any part of the Dublin panel this year, because for all intents and purposes, the word in the street is that he's retired and he's gone on his terms. And we won't know and we won't see the weakness from that perspective until the white heat of battle. Sure. When Cluxton has been absolutely sublime, superb in the way that he's directed games, he's controlled games, and he's restarted games on the back of maybe it's coming level or a goal scored against him, which is very rare. But it's only then when we see, you know what, is he missed? And I think he will be massively.
So you think just silently, no statement, no nothing, Stephen Cluxton's hung up the gloves?
Yeah, honestly. And I've asked. And I'm not saying I was told to feck off and mind my own business. and it's the fact that it's even Jim hasn't, Desi hasn't been in the media spotlight and these questions being asked. And Mick Gavin is holding the fort. And not doing media, it is pure and utterly obvious. And there's no way that you miss the whole entire league and all of a sudden you're back because you've been rested. Cluxton was never a man to rest, and I honestly do think that he has done it on his terms, albeit probably the way Dublin would do it under the radar. But it would be disappointing. But I honestly do think that something has happened, and it's only from a walking away into the sunlight perspective I think it's happened.
Even Jim Gavin released a statement, David, that this would be truly unprecedented if Cluxton were to go out with such silence. Like I remember I was there when Mick Galvin was being interviewed after the game in Thurles a month back, and he said that Cluxton was a few weeks from coming back. Now, in fairness, he has blind out for Parnell, so like, that obviously raised a few flags for people as well.
Oh, without a doubt. So, boys, this is not a very big puzzle. And if you put all the pieces together, you say to yourself, well, you know, if he's coming back from injury, your obvious thing is to be in training with your county team or play one or two club games to get back into the groove. Mm-hmm. But I can guarantee you, if Stephen was 100% on the road back, the games you want him playing is the AB games. You're in the high intensity games of your own county panel, not from a Parnell's perspective. Mm. Definitely, right. It's going to be the story of the summer told in the winter.
Breaking news there from DB this morning.
No, I was told to pick off and mind my own business.
Okay.
But anyway,
okay.
You have to see it that way.
Yeah, look, I think until we see him again, you're going to have people will doubt that we'll see him again until we see him again. I think that's the case with anybody at that stage of their career in many ways. We've only got like a minute left here. Brendan, what is success for Donegal this year?
Yeah, well, I suppose they're going for what have been 9 of the last 10 Ulster finals. It's the semi-final. It's caught us, you know, last three seasons. We've been a game away. But listen, look, just looking at Ulster, you know, you think about it here, if Donegal get over Down, Derry are moving well and pose some problems. If Donegal were to go over that, then it's Tyrone. Then it's an Ulster final against an Armagh or a Monaghan potentially, if they, depending on how that side goes. So, you know, massive amount of games. That's 8 games for Donegal in 10 weeks then, leading into an All-Ireland semi, should they get that far. So, massive workload, Jerry, for Donegal to come up, and so much to happen. But you'd have to think success this year for Donegal would be at least to finally make a semi-final. That would be your thinking at this point against Kerry.
Yeah, and we're dying to see them in Croker in those games with a fully fit team and the opportunity to show us the full array of their talents. We just haven't had that in recent years, and that's kind of obviously been one of the things that COVID has stolen from us. Lads, great stuff. It's great to be talking about football, which is imminent this weekend. My thanks to David Brady and to Brendan Devaney for joining us this morning. Do you think Luxon's retired, Owen?
I'm not sure. Like, I mean, it's...
Would it make a difference if he had in how you handicap the rest of the season?
Yes, absolutely it would. It absolutely would. I think that Evan Comerford absolutely has the skill set to go and take that jersey for the next, for a very, very long time. But it's just getting up those minutes in Croke Park when there's an All-Ireland on the line.
Yeah, if Cluxton has retired, it's like a stop all the clocks, hang the flags at half mast, and like it's a massive outpouring of love and emotion from the Dublin football fans, and probably from fans from around the country for what he's done for the game. Like, it is, you know, it's a huge moment, and I hope that he gets that moment, because he deserves that moment, as opposed to just quietly slipping off and us kind of piecing it together and going, oh, I see what you did there, you know.
Yeah, it would be a shame, because he does deserve it. He's been the leading figure in the greatest team Gaelic football has ever seen. So, it is a massive immediate impact on this championship if Stephen Cluxton has retired, and it is a massive legacy story as well for Gaelic Games as a whole. This will be the biggest story of 2021 if he actually has retired. I would like to think that. Like, I mean, at least Dublin GEA would just stick out a statement from him or something. But maybe we don't know what's at play here.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.